The following is an encore episode of Hour 2 of the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. We hope you enjoy. Welcome back to the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. The phone lines are open, so call now at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881. And share with us your thoughts and prayer intentions as we navigate this complicated world together. And now, your host of the Turley Frequency, Kevin Turley.
Yes, welcome back to the Turley Frequency. So glad to have your company today, this Thursday, the 16th of February. I hope you're having a very pleasant morning, whatever you're doing, whatever you're looking forward to this day. And remember, this next 30 minutes is for you. We're praying for you. If you're listening to us, we are praying for you. And if you want us to pray for you in a more specific way, and you need to vocalize what it is on your heart, on your mind, then you can text us on 251-928-2111. That's 251-928-2111. Or you can phone us. Why don't you just phone in and speak to us? 888-928-0881. We'd only be too delighted to pray for you here live on air, as we are every single day on Archangel Radio. This is the moment when we, the prayer warriors here on this network, the prayer family, come together and we pray for you, our dear listener. Okay, Reed, do we have a prayer warrior today?
We sure do, Kevin. In the studio with us is Miss Karen Caswell.
Good morning.
Karen, welcome to the Turley Frequency.
One sec, Kevin. We're getting her hooked up.
That's all right, Karen. I shall welcome you to the Turley Frequency while you're getting hooked up there. And so glad that you are joining us here as a prayer warrior, entering into the ancient confraternity of prayer warriors here at Archangel Radio. I think as well, I'm correct in saying that this is Karen's first time here in the studio anyway on air. So it's a big moment. And
it is.
Karen, are you there?
Yes. Hey, good morning. Sorry about that.
No. Listen, this happens. Happens to the best of us. Don't worry. it's so good to have you here. This is your first time, right?
Yes, it is.
So where have you come from?
So I live here in Fairhope. I'm a parishioner at St. Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
And a member of the Adoration Group here at Christ the King, Perpetual Eucharistic Adoration.
Wonderful. Are you part of that holy band that pray for Archangel Radio every Thursday?
Actually, I'm not. I'm full-time at the University of South Alabama in Mobile, and so unfortunately I'm not able to participate in things during the week like that.
So is this week a sort of, is it a reading week or something, Karen? Have you got time off this week that you were able to come in?
No, actually, I'm working here at the Fairhope campus today, and so I'm actually just moving my lunch hour to this morning.
Oh, that's very kind of you. May I ask what you teach at South Alabama?
Well, actually, I work in the Office of Facilities Planning and Construction, so we do all of the design work on campus. So I'm actually not a faculty, I'm in administration.
I thought you sounded far too together to be in the faculties of some sort, you know. You sound like a very practical woman who knows how to plan things and get things done. And we're very, very grateful for you giving up your lunch hour here on this Thursday, the 16th of February, and coming in and praying with us. Karen, I'm assuming that you are a devotee of the Divine Mercy Chaplet.
Yes. Yes, I'm a huge fan of the shrine in Stockbridge, Massachusetts.
Oh,
and
wow.
I have visited that several times. It's a beautiful facility to visit the campus as well as obviously the shrine.
I'd love to go there. But, you know, before I knew what Divine Mercy was, I inadvertently visited the Divine Mercy Shrine in just outside Krakow, you know, the big one in Częstochowa, There's a big, and I inadvertently visited and was told all about the Divine Mercy Shrine. And at the time, it was in one ear and out the other, I have to say. But so I'd love to go back and revisit Krakow and Sister Faustina's places. And you never know, maybe one day I will. But we can revisit the Divine Mercy anytime, really, through this prayer, this wonderful prayer that's been given to us. Karen, are you familiar with how we do it on this show?
I have listened a couple of times, but certainly lead me through it and happy to follow along.
Okay, well, there's no great mystery to it in just that we start with the preliminary prayers, you know, the Our Father, Hail Mary, and what have you. And then just before we go to the first decade, I often ask the prayer warrior who's come in to nominate something to pray for, someone something to pray for. And you definitely have the first decade. And then we see how the other four decades play out. Depending on the number of calls or messages we get through, we tend to just dedicate them, if possible, to one or two intentions each. How does that sound?
Sounds good.
Okay, so beads at the ready, Mrs. Carcell. Is your name Carcell? I've got it written
Caswell,
down.
Caswell, Kevin.
Yes.
Yep.
Caswell. Yes. It's a nice name. Where is that from, Karen, before we start? Where is that name from? Is it an English name, Scottish name?
It's Scottish.
Hmm. And have you done any research on your background?
Well, it's actually my husband's family name, and so he's done a tremendous amount of research on it. But myself, not so much. I'm actually Italian. Papania is my maiden name, so I'm more familiar with the, you know, the other side of the family.
That's nice. Right. Okay. Well, now we've sorted that out, let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. Then we say together, Karen, three times, O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us, I trust in you. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us, I trust in you. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us, I trust in you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Karen. So who or what have you brought with you today, Karen, that we can pray for?
So I'd like to pray for those who, like myself, find at times great difficulty in pulling away from the secular world, the desires and distractions. And I ask the Heavenly Father to please keep our hearts and our minds rested in you.
It's a really interesting prayer, Karen, that. I've never heard anybody pray that before. It's really interesting. To draw away from the distractions of the world so that to be focused more on things of heaven, things of the Lord.
Yes, just to find time in our lives to kind of pull ourselves away from things that we find tremendous comfort in, but that's a distraction, you know, for our time that we really should be in prayer.
Yeah, I think that's a prayer really of this moment, because there, never in human history has there been more distractions available at the click of a button, really. I don't think. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah, I agree tremendously. I think we're just always looking for things that are just sort of easy and, you know, just following things that just give us tremendous kind of temporary comfort. And so the prayer is really just to find a way in, you know, in all of our distractions to focus more and spending time in prayer and silence.
Amen. I'll go for that, Karen. Put me down for that one as well. I'm ready for that. Okay, let's pray this first decade together for that intention. And for anybody listening who can see that in their own lives, and I'm sure there's not one person listening who can't put their hand up and say, yep, that's me as well. We could all spend more time focused on the Lord. But it's not easy sometimes. Some of us are more predisposed to look at things and hear things and get involved in things all the time, reading things. And it can be a real distraction. It's part of who we are. As St. Thérèse of Lisieux once said, weakness should never be surprised by weakness, and we are all weak. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, Karen. Now, while we've been on air, we've had a text in from Jim. Jim, thank you so much for texting in today, this morning. And Jim is asking for prayers for Sharon. And Sharon is aged 90, but Sharon has now begun the process of dying. And Jim is praying that she passes into the arms of our Lord. And he's also praying for the comfort of her earthly family as she makes that final journey. Well, I'm sure, as you know, Karen, this prayer is designed for those dying. It's a prayer specially geared for those that are meeting that final moment in their life journey when they have to surrender to God, life itself.
Yes.
So we remember Sharon very much at this time. We pray for her family, and we pray for you as well, Jim. Thank you so much for texting in, and we pray for you that you'll be comforted at this time as well. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Karen. And Jim, just one other thing, you know, don't be worried about texting in as often as you want in the coming weeks or days about Sharon. We'd be only too delighted to pray for her every day and accompany her at this moment. And that's true for anybody listening. You know, if you've texted in previously or sent a request or even phoned in, you know, there's no bar on you coming back every single day for prayers. In fact, we'd be delighted to keep praying for you, especially if it's something that's going to need a lot of concentrated prayer at a certain time. That's why we're here. 25, text me, 251-928-2111, or call in 888-928-0881. Now, I have another text here, and somebody who has texted previously and they've texted again. I'll just read out the text if I may. It says, "Dear Jesus, I have come to you in prayer for nearly 5 years, trembling with fear over this legal inquiry, asking the same question each day, imploring your mercy for an outcome I desire. You said, 'As you believe, let it be done for you.' You are the only answer to my question, the antidote for my pain and my fears. I love you. Please strengthen me to carry my cross and do your will. I don't know what to ask anymore." Well, Anonymous, we are only too delighted to accompany you in this dark valley that you're wandering through. But remember, the Lord is with you. The Lord is your shepherd in this moment. And now we're going to bring all the family, all the prayer family that we have together here on Archangel Radio. And Karen and myself are going to lead that family in prayer for you at this time. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, Karen, and thank you, Anonymous, for texting in, and we will keep you in our prayers. I'm going to turn to Reed. Reed, do you have anyone or anything you'd like us to pray for today?
I sure do, Kevin. Actually, today, the parish of St. Lawrence has given me a small binder with just a few intentions to pray for. I'll go ahead and list those.
Absolutely.
There's an intention for Jim Gatz, that he's able to, the doctors are able to help him. He has cancer now, and they're praying for a cure for that. Mm-hmm. And then there is Marilyn Schultz, and they want to pray for her continued improvement.
Mm-hmm.
And then Brenda Findley, they would like to pray for relief from, she is having pain in her spine, so they would like to pray for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is Mary Pritchett, who they are praying for a cure for her leukemia. And then there is Ganelle Ducote. They are also praying for that doctors are able to find something, a cure for her cancer. And then there's also Mr. Sean Welch, and the intention is that he is able to find a job and that he's able to experience healing.
That is wonderful. Well, you've given us an absolute roll call there, Reed. I'm so grateful. And thank you, everybody from the parish of St. Lawrence that has passed those messages to Reed. And it's a delight to pray for you, Jim. We pray that the cancer, if it's God's will be got away with. Marilyn, we'll pray for your continued improvements. Brenda, we'll pray for your spinal pain. We'll pray that the Lord will release you from that. Mary, we'll pray for your ongoing leukemia and the battles with that. A friend of mine's had leukemia for years, and he's leading a very full life, so we pray for you, Mary. Ganel, we pray for you as well, also a cancer survivor, and we pray that the Lord will strengthen you at this time. And Sean, we pray that you find work, and you find work so much that you'll be phoning the station saying you can't believe the joy that this job has brought to you, because it's a dream job. We lift you all up to the Lord today, and we ask that the divine mercy will envelop you and help you in whatever your struggles are. And also I ask, if you do hear this, to offer your sacrifices as well, offer your pains up for all those that are listening to this show now, that they may draw closer to Christ through your suffering. Karen, I'm sure you know most of these people.
I am familiar with some of the names. We have a pretty large parish, so it's always nice to meet new faces, and, you know, possibly some of them, I'll recognize them, but I might not know them personally.
Sure. But still, it's nice that you're here from St. Lawrence as well, so you can pray with me for them all.
Yes.
Okay, let's pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Karen. Now we're down to, believe it or not, our last decade. Doesn't it go quickly?
It does.
You think?
Yes.
So, Karen, who else would you like us to pray for today? Here on your first visit, we're going to give you two decades. So who else would you like us to pray for?
So this next prayer, I actually wrote this, and it's for our Catholic Charity Appeal. Through the intercession of Mary, I pray for those families in the Archdiocese of Mobile who will be the recipients of this year's Catholic Charity Appeal, that through the charity of others, these families and individuals will find peace in their challenges and sufferings.
I think that's wonderful, Karen, and it's a great appeal for, to the Lord, for the Catholic Charity Appeal, that the families that will be helped by that across the Archdiocese of Mobile, they will see something of Christ in that, and that whatever help they get, material help they get, they will also see the spiritual benefits that lie behind it. So it's a wonderful prayer, Karen. We've had one last minute text in from Sherry. Good morning to you, Sherry. Prayers for safe travel for my parents, Dan and Julie. They are driving home from Fort Myers in Florida. Sherry, we're only too delighted to pray for Dan and Julie. And Dan and Julie, if you're listening, safe travels. Sherry is surrounding you with angels as you make your way home to Fort Myers, Florida. And we hope that you will call Sherry later and say the trip was unbelievable. Easy and pleasant. Not one roadblock in sight. Okay, Karen, shall we say this final decade?
Yes.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And then we say together three times, Karen. Holy God, Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. And then we conclude together, Karen. O my Jesus, I trust in thee. O my Jesus, I trust in thee. O my Jesus, I trust in thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, Karen, how was that?
It's very nice. I enjoy doing it a lot. You're a great leader.
Will you come again?
Yes, I'd enjoy it.
And you know, you can bring anybody else you like from your parish, from your workplace, family, friends, enemies. We don't mind.
Sure. Sounds great. I look forward to coming back.
All right. Listen, thank you very much for taking time out of your very busy schedule to come and pray with us today, Karen. We really appreciate it here at Archangel Radio.
Okay. I appreciate it also.
Okay, so that was Karen Caswell, who's been in and become a prayer warrior here on the network, here on this Divine Mercy half hour that we have every day at 9 a.m. Central. And, you know, you can be part of that. You can come in and pray with us. Just call the station on 888-928-0881 and just say, I want to be a prayer warrior. And they will put you through to Sherry or whoever, and they will sort you out with the necessary sword and armor that you will need to take up this very important cause. Okay, when we come back, we are talking swords and barriers and all sorts of things with the Passion of Joan of Arc and how she reappeared on the screen in France in the 1920s. Stay with me here on Archangel Radio. Welcome back to the Crumbling Turley Frequency, broadcast to you live on the Archangel Radio with me, your host Kevin Turley, welcoming you back. I'm so glad of your company this morning. It's so nice to have somebody to talk to, even if you are at least 3,000 miles away. I think you're further, actually. I think you're 4,000 miles, but never mind. I don't know about you, but I found that conversation with Dr. Kelly this morning really, really interesting. When do friendships start? When do they end? Does anybody know? Well, let's ask two very wise men that I know, Mr. Reed Hodges and Mr. Mike Romano. Do you have any views on this subject of when friendships begin and when friendships end?
As far as when they begin,
I guess when transitions from the point of you are kind of required to do something for someone to the point of, like, you enjoy spending your time with them, yeah. So you just do it without needing to.
Yeah, and as far as ending, I don't know, when the friend, you know, in some way, you know, like, let's say, you know, stabs you in the back, you know, a couple of times, you know, fool me once, you know, you know, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me, I guess. Or, yeah, when they do things that aren't, you know, friend-like, or I guess is what I'm trying to say. When somebody hurts you deeply to the point where that's not something that a friend would do, you know, but mm-hmm. here you are doing it. You know, I forgive you the first time. I mean, you can forgive the person. You keep forgiving mm-hmm. the person. Don't get me wrong, but
do you keep letting them back into that?
That doesn't mean you
position.
Have to let that person, you know, keep harming you in emotionally, physically, or whatever.
No, not at all. Not at all. In fact, you know, I mean, there's such a thing as an abusive friendship or abusive relationships.
Yeah.
We hear about them all the time. So mm-hmm. the minute something, you know, in your heart when something is abusive or somebody's trying to use you or misuse you. So, I think that's a definite time when you have to pull the cord and exit the train called friendship. You know, you've arrived at your destination, which is to get on another train somewhere else. Personally, I think the friendship start once the payment clears. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm still waiting for payment, Kevin.
No, I mean, it's a mysterious thing, because I do think, though, in all seriousness, that and I was very interested with what Dr. Kelly had to say about this, though, because I'm sure, I mean, Reed, you're a young man and you've probably still got a lot of friends from high school and earlier, right?
I have some. I mean, yeah. You know, it's funny because I feel like there's a lot less close friends. Like, you're able to keep up with everybody so well now. And you really don't even spend time with them or think about them. So, like,
that's
in
true.
The past, you know, you would probably kind of consider your friends to be the people that you saw in town, saw a lot, that you spent time with, and things like that, and that you catch up with, like, you know about them. They, you talk to each other, you find out about their life, and you know about them. Whereas now, you know, we know everything about everybody's lives, so you can definitely know almost everything about someone, at least that they want to publicly share, and not even be close to calling them a friend.
But would you say, Mike, I mean, you and I are a little bit older than Reed, and in my case, a lot older than Reed. But what I've noticed as I've got older is that some friendships are there for a season, you know, and they're very intense, they're very good, we get on very well, but they for geographic reasons or work reasons or whatever, they just drift away, you know, and there's no problem with that. Both parties sort of accept that in a sense. But do you find that that's a feature in your life as well, that friendships are literally given for a season?
I don't know. I mean, I've still managed to I'm trying to think of recap friends that have lived in distant places, like my friend Aaron, God rest his soul. I looking back on it, I wish I had spoke with him more, but I mean, we still kept in touch, even we were friends in college, or post college, I should say. But yeah, we still kept in touch. Let's see, I met him back in, I don't know, I guess the early 2000s. And, you know, we remained friends for over, you know, 20 plus years. I'm trying to think of, there's another friend that I had out in California who, I guess you could say, there was one relationship, one or two relationships where because of distance and, you know, when I started having kids, you know, that became my family time. My priorities changed, and because of that, I kind of lost touch with these two particular friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I had one friend from high school recently, you know, reach out to me because it was something that he wanted, needed some help, you know, financially with, but. You know, I guess you could say, there are seasons, and because of circumstances like with mine for my family, we kind of lost touch with a couple of friends. Mm-hmm. But I have no ill will feelings towards these people. But you're right. Yeah, it passed in season, and I wish of course all my friends who have lost in touch with, I wish them all the best. And of course, you know, nowadays you got Facebook, so you can communicate that way. You see something they post, and you like it, and you post something, they like it, etc. So, but yeah, I guess I'm not waxing as eloquently as Dr. Kelly, but I certainly understand. I understand, you know, the nature of friendships.
Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating. It's fascinating because we all have friendships. I mean, it's one of the first things we experience as children, right? You
exactly.
know, think about it. The first thing, other than your immediate family and the maternal link, paternal link, fraternal link, if you've got brothers and sisters and all the rest of it, the next big moment in your maturation is having your first friends, you know?
Absolutely.
Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely.
And you can remember the little friend you had when you were like 4 or 5 and you would play together. And it was literally, in my case, it was the boy next door, and we'd play together in the garden or whatever. And their mothers would be so happy that we were playing together and all of that. And it's a major moment. But I mean, you know, that was a long time ago, and I have absolutely no idea whatever became of that child. I hope. But the memory never leaves you. It's really weird. You know, it's like a really important thing. But, and this is the thing, until Dr. Kelly was talking, I wasn't really thinking about the way in which friendships change, develop, mature, drop away, come back. You know, it's something that we kind of take for granted. Or am I being...
You bring up a great point. I think that... You know, friends come into our lives. There's some people, friends who come into our life in a season, and they share an essence or a piece with them. You know, they share something of themselves with you. And you carry that, whether it's something the person said, the way they made you feel. Maybe that friend's generosity caused you to it inspired you to be generous to others. You know, who you hang with, as my mom always used to tell me, hey, who you hang with determines how you hang.
Mm-hmm.
So, I
think that's, I mean, and Dr. Kelly, I mean, you must have heard the expression, you will be as good as the six in business, in professional life. You're as good as the six people you surround yourself with. You ever heard that expression?
I think I have heard that. I mean, in my relationship in Catholic radio, and I think this goes for any business, anywhere. It's all about the relationships. I've been fortunate to make a lot of great relationships with a lot of great, you know, Catholics. You know, if you know,
I'm just gonna stop you there, Mike, because Reed, did you hear that? Mike said he had been fortunate to make great connections in the Catholic world.
I have been fortunate.
Yeah, I have been.
I'm sorry.
He hasn't met anybody in the last 6 months that he.
Yeah, I mean, he's just completely trashed us, Reed. You know, on air, live on air.
My apologies for using.
We had 3 months to do that, but
this is where that English, you know, education comes into play. So, you know, the English education comes into play in using the right tense and verbs.
I only speak in Latin, you know that. I think you're right. I mean, it is about surrounding yourself with the right people in a professional sense. But I think as well, there is a mark whereby the people you have as friends, you can tell a lot. You know, if I told you that my 6 closest friends were all drug addicts and ex-criminals, or criminals, you'd probably get a fair estimate of what my character was like, wouldn't you?
Somewhat, Kevin. I mean, it is true. You know, it's proximity. You are around the things that you're similar most of the time, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Does that mean that you, me, and Mike, we're all sort of similar? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, really, we're all radio people, so we're all in proximity to each other. So
yeah, absolutely. But you know,
I was going to add this one last thing. You know, I've been blessed, as you know, with an ability, you know, to mimic other people. People know that I do, you know, impersonations. So when I do,
I never knew that, Mike. When do you do that?
You know, from when I did stand up, and
of course, yeah,
and people, they feel like when I do an impersonation, for example, say of Nick Saban, they feel like they're talking with them. I'm right there in the room with them. Uh-huh. So. I know, you know, with my father-in-law, God rest his soul, I used to do an impersonation of him, and at his funeral, I did, you know, impression of him, you know, as if he were in the pearly gates of heaven, and they all told me, hey, I feel as if, you know, you know, Paul, Mr. Penry was right there, you know, in the room with us, so I'm able to bring the essence, you know, as an actor, you know, bring the essence of that person. You know, into the room, like mm-hmm. It's as if that person is right there, standing mm-hmm. right in front of them. You know, even if it's only for a few minutes, you know, I give people a gift and an essence of that person. This is what that person meant to me. You know, like my favorite people to imitate are my family members, because I love them so much, and they've passed. They continue to pass along, you know, their love and their generosity to me, and I think people like that about it, and I enjoy doing it, you know.
I mean, so. The other thing which we didn't touch on very much with Dr. Kelly this morning was. Which is another component, which I haven't fully thought through, but there's something as well for the Christian about friendship, which is not just about comings and goings and seasons. Sure. Do you know what I mean? You know, as St. Thomas More, who had a great gift for friendship, he really did, and he had friends throughout his life. And, you know, he said that we go to heaven together. You know, we bring people with us together to heaven. We go to hell on our own. We go to heaven with people. Mm-hmm. And there's something about friendship which is more than just compatibility or conviviality. It's about wanting the best for the other human being, the other person. And, you know, it's also slightly exacting because you're also saying, you know, that this way of living is maybe not the best way for you. There's another way. There's another possibility. And it's up to them to reject you in essence. But I think part of true Christian friendship is us urging each other on to be the best so that we can all make it to heaven eventually and hopefully.
Amen. Amen. And I think it goes back to, you know, I always remember anybody who's seen It's a Wonderful Life remembers the ending where Clarence, the angel, says, "No man is a failure who has friends." And I truly believe that. And mm-hmm. my dad always says, would always say, tell me growing up, you know, you're lucky. Consider yourself lucky if you can count the number of friends you have, the true friends you have, on one hand.
Mm-hmm. Let me just do that, Mike. I've got Reed, Mike, Michelle. No, not Michelle. Reed and Mike. That's who I've got. I've got two, Reed and Mike. Now, guess what, guys? We could be carrying each other to heaven. Just think, we could be broadcasting for all eternity together, the Turley Frequency, every day, coming to you live here in heaven, unless we go to the other place and we end up broadcasting there for eternity as well. But, well, listen, we've got a few minutes left. Shall we do some story time?
Let's go ahead.
I don't hear any answers. Is that because you're running off to get your musical instruments? I hope it is. Yes, welcome to story time here on the Turley Frequency. And thank you to Mike and Reed, as ever, for sharing us their insights. They do a wonderful job on this show. I don't care what Michelle says. I think they're absolutely fantastic, the two of them. Now, this story of Joan of Arc and this film, you know, we've been talking about this film longer than the film, I think. The film is, I think, an hour and a half maximum. And I think, I don't know how many days we've been doing this. Reed, have you any, how many days have we been on Joan of Arc telling this story? 4? 5? I've lost track. Never mind. So I'll have to recap again very briefly. You remember Joan of Arc burned at the stake, 1431, canonized in 1920. And then we had the strange experience of Carl Dreyer, the up-and-coming Danish film director who turns up in Paris, hears about Joan of Arc, reads the transcript of her trial, decides that that's the film that he desperately wants to make, and starts hunting out the actress who will play the central figure of Joan of Arc. And do you remember we talked about Carl Dreyer wandering the streets of Paris? Do you remember late at night? And he couldn't find the actress. He was unable to hunt down the actress to play Joan of Arc. And he saw the lights of a sort of vaudeville music hall type place. And he went in and he sat down, bought a ticket, sat down and watched the actresses on the stage. And he noticed one of the actresses and he was intrigued by her. This incident's all the more mysterious because the show is a light comedic piece, probably music and dancing and jokes and that sort of thing, which was the total opposite of what the trial of the Passion of Joan of Arc would turn into on screen. But nevertheless, Carl Dreyer, being the cinematic genius that he was able to see in this actress on stage something which intrigued him. As I said to you the other day, he went backstage, he spoke to the actress, he asked her to remove her makeup so that he could see her in the flesh, so to speak. She refused to do so. But Carl Dreyer went back the next day, same thing happened, and this time she acquiesced to his demand. And when he saw her without makeup, he said, "You are Joan of Arc." Her name was Falconetti. That's how she would come down to us in history. René Jean Falconetti. I think she was Italian in origin, but she was in Paris at the time performing. And remember what we said about what Dreyer said of her. He said there was something about her also that was within the ability for him as a director to extract from her, to bring out onto the screen. And he also saw within her, and this is the strangest thing, something of suffering, something of the nature of suffering, which was key to the film he was about to make. Now, do you remember I told you that the filming was an absolutely intense experience? Carl Dreyer is known for intense films, films which demand a lot of the audience, but demanded even more of the actors involved. It's a bit like this show, really. It demands a lot of everybody involved. I also told you about that moment in the film where the Jeanne d'Arc has to have her head shaved by her captors. And this actually happened on screen, and you could see it. And Falconetti had all her hair shaved off. And she went through some sort of emotional breakdown after that, as did most of the crew. This is a strange thing. Everybody was so invested in the project that they all had a sort of collective breakdown. So let's talk a little bit about this film. We talked about the making of it and the origins of it. Well, it's a very strange film, and it's a very, very magnetic film. It has a particular magnetism from its very first frames. In fact, if you're lucky enough to see it, especially on a big screen, the minute it comes on, you are unable to look away from the screen. It holds you like no other film I've ever seen. One of the things that was very avant-garde at the time and has influenced other filmmakers was the way in which the film was edited. So remember, Jeanne d'Arc is in a prison, so a lot of the close-ups of her are very claustrophobic. There's an intensity about the face that keeps coming
out in every single frame, both the face of Joan, Saint John, the captive, but also her inquisitors, the judges, the people that are holding her prisoner, her jailers. Everybody is very intense on the screen. There is no room for any belly laughs in this film. But all of this intensity propels the world not simply to that of one of suffering, which undoubtedly it's about, but it seems to propel us towards the inner life of what is being depicted on stage, which is the life and the death of a 19-year-old saint. Now remember, everything in the film is based on the testimony, the court transcripts of what actually happened to Joan d'Arc. So it's almost like watching a documentary. That's correct. It's almost like watching a documentary filmed in the 1430s. Now, I'm just going to tell you very briefly about how this film came back to the world. Because do you remember I told you about all the fires that happened and it kept going up in fire? And eventually there was a sort of makeshift copy cobbled together by the director, which was screened and which he subsequently disowned because it wasn't the original. And the original was lost, or seemingly lost, for many, many years. Or was lost forever, some thought. But before I talk to you about that, I want to tell you a little bit about Falconetti. Because it's rather sad, you see, that this film was her first major role. As I said to you the other day, she'd appeared in a couple of very sort of comedic shorts before that, but this was her first major feature film. And her on-screen performance now ranks as one of the greatest ever on screen, appearing again and again on critics' lists decade after decade. However, as the film drifted off into obscurity, so its actress also drifted off into obscurity. She was never to make another film again. And a decade or so later, as the Nazis marched into Paris, she fled France, ending up in South America. But she was a troubled soul, and her time in Buenos Aires was not to prove a refuge. By 1946, impoverished and in ill health, she was found dead in unexplained circumstances. In a way, like the saint, the cinematic Joan had been rejected in a way. Because when the film was first exhibited in 1928, the critics didn't like it. And it was censored and shunned, and as we know, the flames soon followed and the whole thing went up in smoke. Dreyer's attempts to salvage what he had created with a second version patched together from the outtakes proved in the end not to last. It too fell victim to fire. Can you believe this? Thereafter, botched and butchered prints emerged from time to time, and none were the original. A French version of the second cut, inverted commas, surfaced in the 1950s and was promptly and angrily dismissed and disowned by the director. Nevertheless, over the decades, the passion of Joan of Arc was still talked about in hushed tones. Dreyer died in 1968. But here's the thing. Do you remember I said unexpectedly the film came back from the dead? Well, this is how it happened. Draw a little closer to the radio, because you're not going to believe this. In 1981, a janitor was cleaning out a closet in a mental institution in Oslo when he discovered three film canisters. They were passed to the Norwegian Film Institute, where they lay unexamined for another 3 years. Finally, they were opened, and they were found to contain an almost pristine certified print of Carl Dreyer's original 1928 cut of The Passion of Joan of Arc. To this day, no one knows why or how these prints ended up in a mental hospital, especially as the film had never been released in Norway. On account of that fact, her original accusers had branded Joan and her voice's madness, do you remember? Well, the place of her discovery appears all the more ironic as a result.
What do we have coming up tomorrow, Kevin?
I'm glad you asked, Reed. We're having Michael Foley back. We're talking about cooking and eating and drinking with saints. And, you know, we like to do lots of that on this show.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of that ending, Reed? Was it what you expected?
That's crazy. It sounds like divine intervention. Like, if even the director was not did not know that those were there, it must have been archived somehow, and then he forgot about it. I mean, that's the only natural explanation that I could think of, I guess.
If you made a film with that ending, nobody would believe you, right? It was far too over the top. But Joan of Arc came back from the dead. Listen, you've been listening to The Turley Frequency here live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. And we've been so glad of your company. We would like to do it all again. Same time, same place, same frequency, same Turley. So until then, stay tuned to the only radio station broadcasting from the Bay of the Holy Spirit, Archangel Radio.